Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Now on WRAL, a meeting is underway to discuss specific ways of resolving Durham Public School employee pay issues.
Also, we've learned that President Biden and Vice President Harris's visit to North Carolina a little later this month will bring them to the Triangle, what they'll be doing here.
And a somber event happens tonight in honor of a Moore County woman found dead after she was missing for months. It comes after family and friends found out one of their questions about her death will likely never be answered. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. So for the first time since that salary issue emerged at Durham Public Schools, the school board is going to be meeting with county commission. About 30% of the DPS budget comes from the county.
Funding was a big topic of discussion at today's meeting. WRAL's Monica Casey was there. Monica, what have you learned about this?
Yeah, Renee, we're getting a better idea of what's next, and leaders say this is a bleak outlook. This is the first time these two groups have come together to meet since last November. Since then, we have seen major protests and sick outs over salaried issues for classified staff at DPS, along with a third-party investigation into what happened. Now, when these issues came up, many were asking why DPS didn't go to the county for more money then. Now we're learning about the county's budget and projected revenue, and this was a somber discussion. County staff says expenditure growth is significant, but revenue is trending down. County staff told commissioners they are digging out of a hole just to get to flat ground, and revenue is not meeting the built-in cost that Durham County has alone. That's without any new asks from the district. In an overview of the budget needs of the school district, Interim Superintendent Catty Moore included possible salary increases for classified staff, but DPS doesn't have numbers yet on how much that will cost or how much they'll be asking the county for. They have a presentation from their newly hired comptroller on how much those raises could cost next week, so we can expect this to come up again. Renee?
Monica Casey, live in Durham. Thank you.
The father of the teen accused of killing five people in Raleigh's Headingham mass shooting was in court this morning. We know that Alan Thompson had his case put into a continuance. He faces a misdemeanor charge, a failure to store firearms to protect minors. His son, who you see here, Austin, who is now 16, faces five counts of murder in that 2022 shooting spree.
We've now learned that President Biden and Vice President Harris will be in Raleigh later this month. We knew earlier that they were coming to North Carolina, but we didn't have specifics on where in the state they would be. Now we know that they will come to Raleigh on March 26th as part of their reelection campaign. Governor Cooper will also be there. North Carolina could be one of the six battleground states that decides this year's presidential election.
Two people are hurt after a two-vehicle crash on Dixon Road in Durham. Durham police say this crash happened around 11 o'clock last night, right between Martin Luther King Jr. Parkway and Alpine Road. Taking a look at a Sky 5 video of that scene hours later as the crash was being cleared up. Police say a car and truck both ran off the left side of the road. The car hit a ditch and then flipped. The truck hit a power pole and also overturned. Both drivers were taken to the Durham area hospitals there with serious injuries. Police say speed was a factor. We're looking to working to find out the condition of the drivers. Sky 5 also over a scene of a concrete truck that flipped over on U.S. 70 business near Ranch Road in Johnston County. Authorities say the truck blew a tire, causing it to overturn. The driver was taken to Wake Med for his injuries.
A cold front will arrive tomorrow afternoon and bring us a quick round of showers. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at when you'll see rain. Elizabeth.
This looks a little more serious when we take a look at the wide view. We have this warm front. You can see this orange shaded area. That's where we have a severe thunderstorm watch in effect. And then all the yellow boxes popping up are severe thunderstorm warnings. And we've had some tornado warnings too along this warm front. But notice how far north that is compared to where we are. All that is going to continue to track northward. And what we'll see tomorrow is this cold front. Now, notice there's not much activity along the cold front, and that's the way it will be as it moves through here. The rest of the day today looks beautiful, and we'll start off with some sunshine tomorrow morning. That's 11 and that's 12. We get to, say, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and we start to see a few isolated showers, maybe a rumble of thunder, but you can see there is not much coverage of rain as we get through tomorrow afternoon. The front itself will move through during the evening, and there could be a quick sprinkle with that, and then we start to see some clearing behind that. Saturday looks fairly dry, and so does Sunday, but we'll be watching the potential for some late day showers on Sunday, and we'll walk through that coming up in just a few minutes. This is a look at a level one risk for severe storms for Friday, but it's well west of our viewing area, including the Charlotte area and then back toward the mountains. None of our area is under that level one risk, but it's interesting. You know, we could see some stronger storms back to the west, but once it gets here, it looks like it should be fairly mild. Coming up, we'll talk about how much rain we could see Friday and Sunday.
Meanwhile, we will enjoy the sunny weather right now. A Harnett County man is in jail after a traffic stop led to a fight with a state trooper. This happened at the Circle K on South Main Street in Lillington around 9 last night. Highway Patrol says the man was pulled over for expired tags. However, the trooper saw the driver had open containers of alcohol and appeared to be drunk, so he tried to arrest him. That's when witnesses say a fight broke out between the driver and the trooper. The trooper called for backup and was eventually able to restrain the man. The driver was taken into custody. It's not clear what charges he faces.
A frustrating update for a lot of folks. WREL has now confirmed that the surveillance cameras near the shooting scene where a 5-year-old and a 16-year-old were shot in Durham may be broken. We asked the Durham Housing Authority about those cameras, and DHA says it's unable right now to access any footage from them around the time of the shooting that happened Tuesday. It's something they're looking into with a third-party vendor who manages that equipment. Meanwhile, the mother of the 5-year-old girl says her daughter is doing much better physically, but emotionally, she's still too scared to return home from the hospital.
I just want justice for my baby. I want whoever did it to be put away, because I don't want another child to or a parent to suffer like that. My baby was a happy baby. She loves to dance. That's going to mess her up, like her spirit.
Police are saying that the 16-year-old is expected to recover as well. Authorities have not confirmed any arrests in this case.
Tonight, prayer vigils will be held for Alicia Watts in Southern Pines. Another vigil is planned for tomorrow at the Montgomery County Courthouse. Watts' body was found in Montgomery County last August, a month after she disappeared. Yesterday, her autopsy was released, and her cause of death is undetermined. Watts' body was severely decomposed, so officials had to use dental records and tattoos to help identify her. Her boyfriend, James Dunmore, is charged with her murder.
We are hearing some concerns from parents of those minors who escaped from Holly Hill Hospital in Raleigh. 5 teenagers were reported missing after leaving the hospital without permission over the weekend. Parents have not been given any updates, apparently, from the hospital. That's what they're telling us, which says it's working. The hospital says it's working with police to find these young people. Kristen Chavez Anthony says her 15-year-old son is among those missing. She said a detective told her that the group of teens took a staff member's badge and then escaped.
What protocols do you guys have in place is that, like, one person could easily be, I guess, ganged up on by 5 teenagers? You know, I trusted this place with my child, and if I had known, you know, maybe we wouldn't be in this situation.
WREL also spoke with another mom of a teen who disappeared from Holly Hill 3 years ago. She's calling on the state to review its involuntary commitment process so parents have a greater voice in where their child stays.
Eric Hernandez-Mendez will serve a life in prison sentence without the chance for parole. The jury delivered a guilty verdict in the death of Christina Matos. She's the NC State student who was stabbed to death in 2021. Her mother described the anguish she feels every day because her daughter is gone.
You in the evil, you don't have compassion for the only person that want to help you, the only person that want a good future for you. And listen to me, I never pardon you. Never, never.
Matos and Hernandez-Mendez were married for 5 days before she was killed. He called it a sham marriage to get his green card.
Forever chemicals, also known as PFAS, they have been found in a North Carolina marina in White Oak, about 30 minutes south of Fayetteville. PFAS, as you may know by now, are harmful to the environment and to people. Studies have linked them to health problems like cancer. Duke environmental professor Dr. Lee Ferguson recently found PFAS in firefighting foams in marinas and dry stack storage for boats. He says it only takes a small amount, really, to create a large contamination.
It doesn't take much firefighting foam to lead to, you know, a measurable contamination. And so that's actually one of the concerns that I have, is that, you know, the large quantities that are used in these fire suppression systems would really constitute a pretty significant source of PFAS if they were ever released.
The water keeper of the marina says the next step is to work on some outreach to inform more people about PFAS and the ways to safely remove them from your water. Another Powerball drawing without a winner, and it pushes that massive jackpot to an estimated $600 million. A ticket in Georgia matched 5 out of the 6 balls, the regular numbers, not the Powerball in last night's drawing, but that's worth some big money. You get $2 million for that. The grand prize is still out there. It's still on the line. Your next chance to play will be this Saturday. You can watch the drawing live at 11 p.m. on WRAL. There are big tornadoes, and then there are monster tornadoes.
This one falls into the latter category. Find out where this ferocious storm touched down when we come back.
Also, a historic ruling today by Japan's highest court on same-sex marriages in the country.
And later, a push to protect IVF treatments in North Carolina following a controversial ruling in Alabama on frozen embryos.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
A sentencing date has been set for the armorer convicted of involuntary manslaughter in the Rust movie set shooting. Hannah Gutierrez-Reed is set to be sentenced on April 15th. A New Mexico jury found her guilty last week of manslaughter in the 2021 shooting that killed cinematographer Helena Hutchins. Actor Alec Baldwin was holding the gun. Gutierrez-Reed was found responsible for the fact that it had live ammunition, not blanks. She faces up to 18 months in prison. Her attorney says they plan to appeal the verdict.
It's amazing. The Olympics are almost upon us. They've been sneaking up in the background of everything else we've been talking about. Less than 5 weeks away now from the start of the Olympic flame relay ahead of the Paris Games. That flame will be lit on April 16th at the birthplace of the Games in Athens. There's something romantic about that, you know. From there, the first torchbearer will start an 11-day Greek relay. The flame will be taken by ship to France and then cross the Atlantic, Indian and Pacific Oceans to visit 6 French overseas territories. The lighting of the Olympic flame will happen on July 26th at the Games opening ceremony there in Paris. And Paris is pledging to have the greenest Summer Olympic Games ever. Now, many nations are considering installing their own air conditioning systems at the Olympic Village. Paris is expected to have soaring temperatures again this summer after reaching a record high last year. The city's mayor says the buildings in the village have been designed in a way that lets in minimal sunlight and a cooling system that draws water from underground. The Olympic Committee from Australia, Brazil, Canada, and Norway are some of the few who believe this system will still not be enough.
We've also got about 150 athletes outside of the village in the sub-sites and the satellite villages as well that we need to contend with. So it's a massive logistical piece. But yes, we're looking at portable air conditioners to offer the athletes should they choose to, if it gets hot, if it's comfortable. Some people don't like to sleep in air conditioning. They like to sleep in room temperature.
You know, those people who like to sleep in room temperature, maybe Olympic athletes. I don't know any of them. Several other delegations have stated that they fully trust that air conditioning will not be necessary at the games, but we'll see.
A high court in Japan has ruled that a government ban on same-sex marriage is unconstitutional. It's a landmark decision for the LGBTQ community in Japan. The high court ruling upholds a lower court decision in 2021. It's the first time a high court in Japan has made such a ruling. Similar lawsuits have been taking place across the country, but the outcome has differed by region. You know, Japan is the only country in the G7 that does not allow same-sex marriage. Now take a look at your screen and see just how massive this tornado is. This is in Kansas. That tornado was on the ground near the city Alta Vista. Severe weather swept across the state last night, and at this point, no damage or injuries have been reported.
That is
amazing.
Scary. Let's pivot. Let's talk outside today. This week, It has been absolutely gorgeous. Our weather has been amazing. Elizabeth Gardner joining us now. I wish I were one of the people behind you out there on the golf course.
I feel like I show this a lot, but you know, it's a place where we always see a lot of people out at lunchtime. This is Pinehurst Resort and Country Club, and lots of folks out, shorts and t-shirts, enjoying the weather. It's absolutely beautiful. We have a few high, thin clouds out there, but for the most part, it's just lovely. We jumped to 74. We are right on track for seeing temperatures at 80 or in the low 80s, depending on where you are. We're looking at 74 at lunchtime, so we're there. And then again, 80, 81. If we hit the 80s today, it'll be the first time this year. And we typically see maybe a couple of days in the 80s in March. We'll see it today and tomorrow, but that may check the box as it looks a good bit cooler for next week and possibly beyond that as well. 75 in Fayetteville right now, 69 in Goldsboro, 73 in South Hill, 66 degrees in Roxboro. Around town, again, 81 in Raleigh and Durham, 81 in Fayetteville. So a lovely afternoon to spend some time outside. We look ahead to tomorrow, and we do have that system headed our way. We saw that giant tornado from Kansas. That is associated with the system that's headed our way. But the severe storms, as I showed you earlier in our newscast, are all going to be well to our north. So we see some showers approaching, most likely mid-afternoon. There's 2 o'clock. We're still fairly dry at that point. Just a couple of showers come drifting across the region. Maybe one or two of those produces a rumble of thunder, but I wouldn't expect anything severe. There's 5 o'clock, and it's mainly dry for the evening commute. When the cold front itself comes through during the evening, we might have another quick shower that fires up along with that. But again, you can see, I mean, very little coverage for us with this storm. And again, we do have the level one risk for severe storms from Charlotte westward, but none of that is covering our viewing area. Just a 30% chance really tomorrow. A lot of us will end up being dry, but if you do happen to be out during the evening, it may be nice to have the umbrella just in case you run into one of those showers. Saturday, a very slim chance of a shower early in the morning. I'll show you that on Futurecast coming up. And then late in the evening on Sunday, again, a slight chance of a shower. But by the time we hit 10 a.m. for the St. Patrick's Day parade in downtown Raleigh, we should be partly cloudy. Temperatures will be in the mid-60s, and we'll see highs in the mid-70s on Saturday and Sunday. Should be great for anything you have planned. We do have colder air on the way. You can see here the white, the light blue and to the purple. This is where we have really cold air, and it comes dropping right down into North Carolina. By the time we get to, say, Tuesday and Wednesday, those are going to be chilly days. We don't really recover. I mean, we recover a little bit, but we stay in the blue color contours really all the way through next week. All the warmest air is going to be back to our west across parts of the desert southwest, Four Corners area. But eventually, we'll have to have some warmer temperatures. We're going to swing the scale in the totally opposite direction. Our temperature outlook for the 19th to the 23rd, so that's going to be a mid to late week next week. Again, lots of warm temperatures to the west, but up here, east of the Mississippi, we're looking at below normal temperatures. What does that look like? Well, 55 on Tuesday and 59 on Wednesday, and some temperatures near freezing in the morning. Both Tuesday and Wednesday morning, we may see temperatures near freezing. Coming up, we're going to take a little closer look. I'll show you how much rainfall we may see total Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'll give you a hint. It's not very much.
That's not, we got a lot of stuff to do this weekend, so appreciate it.
A surge in driving while impaired, and we're not talking about alcohol. Tonight at 6, WRL investigates the deadly danger that's hard to detect on our roads and the challenges law enforcement face to hold drivers accountable.
And on our news a little later at 4 o'clock, a Warren County man is overcharged for physical therapy. That was until he called 5 on your side. How one phone call fixed the issue in a matter of days, and what you can do if you find yourself in a similar situation. And still to come on this newscast, federal regulators announced a new rule banning excessive credit card late fees. Just ahead, some of the ways you can prevent those companies from burying you in debt.
And parents of high schoolers, is your teen getting enough sleep? 80% of them don't. The changes they can make to get the rest they need.
A beautiful Thursday, a little look at Fenton. Hey, they got rid of that ice rink out there. Makes sense, especially with the weather we have this week. The city of Greensboro is opening a new center for unaccompanied minors with no lawful immigration status in the U.S. This is according to the Office of Refugee Resettlement. The Greensboro Children's Center has 800 beds, will house children ages 13 to 17. Besides housing the children, the facility will also provide education and mental health services, medical services, and case management needs. While the center is going operational today, there are no specific plans to place children there at this specific time, but we'll keep our eyes on it. Today, members of the FCC will vote on a new emergency public alert code, much like severe weather or amber alerts that we often get on our phones. The proposal is in the latest federal effort to, in recent years, to address the nationwide crisis of missing and murdered indigenous people. If the proposal passes, the FCC will seek public comment before moving forward with a final vote.
There's a new federal crackdown on credit card late fees. Maribel Aber reports there are things credit card holders can do to protect themselves.
The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau just announced a new rule banning excessive credit card late fees. And for millions of consumers, it's welcome news. The CFPB says 45 million cardholders are charged late fees, and it estimates for households the change could save as much as $220 a year on average. The new rule comes as consumers are having a harder time managing debt with prices and interest rates high. CNBC recently looked at the impact the late fees can have on your credit score, and in turn, those credit scores can have a huge impact on your ability to borrow and secure the best possible interest rate. The national average for a credit score is now 717, according to FICO. That's down a point from where it was a year ago, and it's the first drop in the national average in more than a decade. The dip comes as missed payments have been increasing as household budgets are squeezed by higher prices. Staying on time with payments is critical to keeping a good credit score, and CFPB says not making required payments can lead to extra interest being charged. And credit lines can also be cut as a result, as well as late fees being imposed. For more on the impact on late fees, check out the full story at CNBC.com.
Two of the Triangle's top chefs will square off tonight in a culinary competition benefiting a couple of local charities. They are Chef Alejandro Uribe of NC State's University Club in Raleigh and Chef Harry Mons from Lula and Sadie's in Durham. The chefs will be showcasing their skills in the Cooking for the Kids competition tonight at 1705 East in Raleigh. The event also features a silent auction and a raffle for Pappy Van Winkle bourbon. Proceeds from the event benefit the nonprofit Overflowing Hands and the Pay What You Can restaurant, A Place at the Table in downtown Raleigh. For more information, check out cookingforthekids.org.
The American Cancer Society is hosting its second annual Discovery Ball to fight against cancer. This year, they are recognizing Elizabeth Alexander at the ball. Alexander was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer in 2022. She's undergone 26 rounds of chemo and multiple surgeries. The American Cancer Society says she's facing her battle with courage, grace, and faith. You can help honor her by attending the ball. It's happening tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, and WRAL is a proud community sponsor of the Discovery Ball.
The U.S. House approved a possible ban on the popular social media app TikTok.
The bill now goes to the Senate, but because so many people rely on this, maybe many times for their own businesses, there are folks who are concerned about it going away.
I think you're going to be taking a lot of those connections away from people.
Coming up, you're going to hear from social media influencers here in the Triangle who worry this could affect their livelihood.
Also ahead, it's a nasty disease that just keeps rearing its ugly head. Federal health officials are warning Americans to take precautions against it before they travel abroad.
And let's take a look at some winning lottery numbers as we head to break.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
A number of North Carolina Democrats are calling for state and federal protections of IVF. This follows the controversial Alabama Supreme Court decision about frozen embryos as children.
WRAL Shelley Jackson joins us now. This has been a very complicated story. Shelley, what can you tell us?
Well, IVF doctors and patients met with Congresswoman Deborah Ross and North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein today, here to talk about a push to protect IVF here in North Carolina. Now, this push to protect IVF started last month when the Alabama Supreme Court ruled that embryos are people. Many IVF clinics paused treatment, not sure what that would mean to their practice or to families using IVF. The state legislature has since passed a law to provide a carve-out for IVF, but there is a push by some anti-abortion groups to provide guidelines and establish clear legal framework that could push limitations on the industry. Now, IVF is legal here in North Carolina, and House Republicans say it's safe, but a Democratic leader says you can't take that for granted.
I don't think that we'll need to do that. You know, we dealt with the life issue this year. I think we adopted a bill that made sense.
When the Dobbs decision overturned Roe versus Wade, we saw the risks coming. We knew that reproductive freedom was on the line. Unfortunately, in North Carolina and throughout this country, we've seen these fears play out.
Now, 11 states have a fetal personhood law on the books. 16 other states are considering one. North Carolina is not one of them.
All right, Shelley Jackson with the latest. We'll stay updated on this one. Thank you.
A bill that could ban the popular social media app TikTok is now headed to the Senate after passing the House. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have highlighted TikTok use to be a potential national security risk. The Beijing-based company ByteDance owns TikTok. And some lawmakers say the social media app provides the Chinese government with ready access and influence over the U.S. We're hearing from local influencers who say that the ban could affect their livelihood and hurt businesses across the area.
So we actually use this platform not only to amplify, local businesses, but actually the brand deals that we have, that we've connected with as well.
They're using it to amplify connections and expand their business. Around 170 million Americans currently use TikTok. The influencers we spoke with tell us if the app is banned, they will have to move to other social media platforms. Tonight, Carytown leaders are expected to vote on a new program that helps people who are forced out of their homes by redevelopment. The town partnered with Dorcas Ministries to create an affordable housing program called Stable Homes Carry. It will cover the cost of relocating people when there is large-scale redevelopment. Chatham Estates Mobile Home Park is one of those neighborhoods affected. 100 families are in danger of losing their homes when the mobile home community is sold. Many of those families are expected to show up at tonight's meeting.
Drivers can now renew their driver's licenses at 3 grocery stores across the state in these new self-serve DMV kiosks that are available at 3 Harris Teeter stores, one in Raleigh, another in Fayetteville, and the third down in Charlotte. The DMV representative demonstrated how this works. You see him here in the video. It took him 3 minutes to get a new duplicated ID. The kiosks allow people to renew their driver's licenses or state IDs, to print a temporary certificate, and even get new tags.
Will you use it?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I would encourage my friends that I know that are about to renew their license or get a license, whatever, I'd encourage them to try it out, too.
If I heard that it was reliable, you know, that you could actually go in and do what you wanted to do. So I don't need to be more frustrated.
Well, it couldn't be more frustrated than waiting in line, you know. The state DMV plans to add 20 more of these kiosks at stores across the state a little later in the year.
We are now just under 2 days away from the annual St. Patrick's Day Parade in downtown Raleigh. It kicks off Saturday morning at 10 on Fayetteville Street. The parade will not include motorized vehicles. Last year's Christmas parade in November did not include vehicles as well. That's because of a series of events stemming from the death of 11-year-old Haley Brooks during the 2022 Raleigh Christmas parade. Jeff Hogan will be the grand marshal for this year's St. Patrick's Day parade. UNC Health has signed a new long-term agreement with Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina, the state's largest health insurer. The deal provides stability and peace of mind for people with Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance. UNC Health is still negotiating an out-of-network situation with United Healthcare. That contract expires April 1st.
Let's go county by county. This afternoon, we'll take you to Chatham, Edgecombe, and Orange County. Starting in Chatham County, Aging Services received a $100,000 grant from Meals on Wheels America and the Home Depot Foundation. This aids aging veterans with home repairs. The program has served 64 veterans so far, with repairs done by Rebuilding Together of the Triangle. contact Chatham County for assistance, or you can visit their website. Edgecombe County now, the community college there, will host a job fair for students and the community tomorrow. All majors are welcome at this. There are opportunities in healthcare, law enforcement, business, construction, government, so much more. Applicants should bring 50 resumes and try to dress professionally. That's tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. in the Fleming Building on the Tarboro campus. A new temporary piece of public art will be installed in downtown Chapel Hill tomorrow. The work focuses on environmental sustainability. Local artist Nysa Collins' work, it's called Rubbish the Raccoon. It's made with recycled materials found in the Haw River Assembly's trash traps. The installation will be on display until mid-May.
Nearly 30,000 people with student loans fell victim to a scam. The good news is the federal government is going to help them out. That story coming up.
Also ahead, if you recently bought a can of nuts at Walmart, listen up. Why these cashews are under a nationwide recall.
The Federal Trade Commission says it will provide more than $4 million in refunds to people duped by student debt forgiveness scams. The agency says more than 27,500 people fell victim to these scams, and they will get checks within 90 days. In a 2019 complaint, the FTC targeted Mission Hills Federal and Federal Direct Group, claiming these organizations defrauded borrowers since 2014. The complaint alleges operators deceived students by claiming to be their new service provider. The operators then falsely promised to lower loan payments and then siphoned off monthly payments.
Recalled cashews sold at Walmart could cause life-threatening reactions in some people. This is an important update. The FDA is recalling now 8 1/4 ounce great value honey roasted cashews. You see it, it's on your screen there. And this is across the country. And it's because some of them, they contain undeclared coconut and milk products due to incorrect labeling. That could cause serious or even life-threatening allergic reactions for some people. The FDA says people can discard the cashews, so just throw them out, or return them to Walmart and get a refund.
A recent cyber attack has rattled the U.S. healthcare industry.
It shows how vulnerable our whole system is and how dependent we are on the internet anymore.
Just ahead, the action federal authorities say they are now taking.
Plus, a troubling disease just keeps popping up around the world. And the CDC has a warning for Americans planning to travel abroad.
A recent cyber attack is causing major financial headaches for the healthcare industry. And as John Lawrence reports, federal investigators plan to act.
The Department of Health and Human Services is going to put Change Healthcare on the operating table.
The system is fragile to fraud and computer hacking, and that's what happened in this case.
Last month, Change Healthcare was hit with what the American Hospital Association calls, quote, the most significant and consequential cyber attack on the U.S. healthcare system in American history.
It shows how vulnerable our whole system is and how dependent we are on the internet anymore.
The insurance billing firm is involved in roughly 1/3 of U.S. patient records, and the HHS will investigate into whether Change Healthcare properly protected their data in compliance with the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. Meanwhile,
if you're looking at a co-pay discount card, you're probably not going to be able to use that at this point in time until the system is fixed.
The hack has disrupted medical payments from insurance companies to health providers over the past few weeks, and that's leaving some clinics strapped for cash.
It's very disheartening because we want to deliver the medications to our patients that we serve.
A spokesperson for Change Healthcare and its parent company, United Health Group, tells CNN it will cooperate with the HHS investigation. I'm John Lawrence reporting.
Officials at Change Healthcare say the criminal group Black Cat is responsible for this hack. And the Justice Department has previously said that the organization has been involved in other ransomware attacks worldwide.
The CDC is urging Americans to make sure they are up to date on their measles vaccines before traveling abroad. The agency now says Americans who plan to head overseas should consult their doctors at least 6 weeks before their trip to ensure they are up to date on their measles shots. The CDC previously recommended the vaccine at least 1 month before traveling. The agency's decision to update guidelines comes as measles outbreaks grow in Chicago and around the world.
Russia and Malaysia are the latest countries to be added to the CDC's map of 46 countries facing measles outbreaks. A new poll finds 8 in 10 teens do not get enough sleep, which can lead to depression. Teens need 8 to 10 hours of sleep each night. The Sleep in America poll by the National Sleep Foundation shows teens struggle due to school, work, and screen time. So ways to get better sleep: get regular exercise, avoid caffeine and any heavy meals before bed, and try to have a relaxing bedtime routine. That does not include scrolling on your phone, right, or playing video games. Come on, we know why.
What time does high school start? High school starts around 8 a.m., 8:15, something like that?
Pretty early.
Yeah, so
some even 7 o'clock or so.
So that would be a pretty early bedtime for a sophomore or a junior in high school, but they need it. And it's tough when the sun is still up, although I do like the longer days, Elizabeth.
I'll tell you what, as a parent of a teenager, it's all hard. It's really hard. You need to go to bed, you need to go to bed, you need to go to bed. And you're just like broken record, you know, just like blank stares. I don't know. I never thought, that, you know, I thought my kids are going to do what I tell them to do, right? Oh, anyway, we digress. It's gorgeous out there right now. Get some exercise today. Phenomenal. Apex looking good. Chapel Hill, just a few high, thin clouds out there. That's, of course, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant. Let's take another look at the weekend. You know, today's just nice and quiet. We'll see a high of 80, 81 degrees. Tomorrow, temperatures will be warm, too. We'll end the day with a chance of a shower or maybe an isolated thunderstorm. But the amount of rain that we end up seeing Friday will be minimal. Same thing Saturday. Some of the long-range models are still showing a little bit of light rain very, very early Saturday morning. And then again on Sunday evening after sunset. Temperatures this weekend still mild, but we'll end up with a bit more cloud cover than we've seen the last couple of days. We do have some severe storms that have popped up just south of our warm front. All that is sliding eastward pretty quickly, but we're just starting to see right here along this stationary front, or this trough, which is the brown hatched line, just beginning to see some storms developing here in Oklahoma. That is a tornado watch. And so we'll actually see the cold front, which is down to the south, sliding through here tomorrow. But we're not likely to see that level of severe storms. As a matter of fact, we're not likely to see any severe storms at all. We'll start tomorrow with some sunshine. By lunchtime, we start to cloud up a little bit. This is really going to get disrupted as it moves across the mountains. And again, severe weather is not likely for us. There's 2 o'clock. Once we get to 4 or 5 o'clock, we see a few isolated showers or maybe a little rumble of thunder moving across our area. But again, just not much happening for us. There's 5 o'clock. It looks like it'll be a fairly quiet commute in terms of weather. The cold front comes through. There may be a few sprinkles along with the cold front or maybe just after. And then you could see at 8 a.m. on Saturday, a little bit of cloud cover, and then we'll see some nice clearing. And the rest of the day looks nice and dry. Earlier, of course, I showed you this as well. No changes here. A level one risk for severe storms from Charlotte westward, but none of that is in our viewing area. Let's jump ahead to Sunday and take a look here. Sunday morning, we're nice and clear. But once we get closer to lunchtime, we start to see the clouds thickening up. And in the late afternoon or closer to sunset, we may see an isolated shower that pops up across the area. And then it's likely to be out of here by Monday morning. So a 30% chance on Friday, maybe a quick shower early, like before sunrise on Saturday. And then on Sunday, around 5-6 o'clock, we may see a few isolated showers starting to work through. But all 3 days combined, we're looking at anywhere from about a quarter of an inch less than that, maybe a few hundredths of an inch to a quarter of an inch. So it's really not much rain all 3 days combined. But we've had enough rain to see a change in our drought monitor. Last week, we were seeing abnormally dry conditions up and down most of the I-95 corridor. That is really short. Shrunk and moved eastward, and that moderate drought area has also shrunk a little bit too. So we're still looking pretty good in terms of our drought monitor. The latest pollen count that just came out about an hour ago is moderate for trees, cottonwood, and maple. But with the cooler temperatures, we may see those pollen counts starting to drop off a bit. After 80s today and tomorrow, mid 70s over the weekend, but we're back to some chilly temperatures Tuesday and Wednesday, highs in the 50s, lows in the 30s.
Elizabeth, thanks. Still ahead, what's believed to be the rarest stamp in the U.S. could be yours.
If, big if, you have the cash for it. Coming up, what makes this particular stamp so unusual and how much you could fetch at auction. And you could buy it if you win the Powerball. Let's take another look at those numbers. A reminder, the prize for Saturday's drawing is now up to $600 million. You can watch that drawing live on WREL at 11 p.m.
As you wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today.
For the first time since the salary issue emerged at Durham Public Schools, The board met with the county commission. This is significant. The interim superintendent was there, gave an overview of the budget needs for the school district, which include possible salary increases for the classified staff. Commissioners warned their budget is already strapped with increased spending and a drop in revenue. No decisions were made today. It was just a discussion. But it's worth noting about 30% of the school district's budget does come from the county.
At least one of the teenagers who escaped from Holly Hill Hospital has been found. He's one of five that left the hospital over the weekend without permission. One mom told WRL a detective said the teenagers took a staff member's badge and escaped. Parents are calling on the state to review its involuntary commitment process so parents have a greater voice in where their child stays.
Some new federal court documents now link a Raleigh shooting that killed a 24-year-old to a weapon that was bought at a local gun show weeks prior. 24-year-old Amari Goss died after he was shot in February along Pool Road. The federal paperwork says that the gun was purchased legally and then given to someone else who is not legally allowed to own a gun. It's called a straw purchase. Two people were charged with murder, including a 14-year-old.
The rarest U.S. stamp is likely to fetch millions of dollars at auction. Take a look at this. It is the 1868 one-cent Z-Grill. It features a profile of, yeah, you know him, Benjamin Franklin. Not only was he a founding father of this country, he was also the nation's first postmaster general. I forgot about that fun fact. There are only two known copies of this stamp. The other one is held by the New York Public Library. And the one going for auction belongs to billionaire investor Bill Gross. That could sell for up to $5 million. And that would make it the